You might be turning to John, the 17th chapter. I want to talk about some things found there in John 17. We are very familiar with this passage because this is Jesus' prayer on the night of his betrayal. He prays for his disciples. He prays for us as well. And I want you to share with me as we read some verses here. We're going to read down through verse 21, beginning at verse 10. John 17, beginning at verse 10. Jesus says here, "And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus knew well what was about to happen to him when he said, "The hour has," or "my hour has come," in verse 1 of chapter 17. Notice there he says, the hour has come, glorify your son, that the son may glorify you. His arrest is recorded in the very next chapter of John. And just as the 22nd Psalm suggests, he must be glorified after passing through a terrible trial of suffering. The Holy Spirit said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 11, predicting the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Rather than falling into self-pity in view of the coming ordeal, his thoughts were on his disciples, those disciples whom he had personally chosen and trained and had spent this time with, going in and out and eating with and being close to. They were soon to be commissioned as his personal ambassadors or apostles. In chapter 20, in verse 21, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you," he says to them. Their message would cause sins to be remitted and retained. They would bind and loose on earth what had been determined in heaven. The Spirit would guide them into all the truth. Jesus had promised that. In fact, in Matthew 16 and verse 19, speaking to Peter in particular, he says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That is, it's already done in heaven. You'll be just doing it here. And in John 16 and verse 13, he said, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." And then again in John 20, notice with me, if you will, beginning at verse 20. John 20, beginning at verse 20, going through verse 23. "And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.'" The only way for that to be accomplished is through the preaching of the gospel. Those who obey the gospel, their sins are forgiven. They're not retained. Those who do not accept the gospel, those who disbelieve the gospel, their sins are retained. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's how it was taking place. But Jesus foresaw the fiery trial through which they would also pass. He says in Matthew 26 in verse 31, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered," or shall be scattered. He saw those things. He knew those things. They're going to face this trial, but there are going to come other things that are going to happen to them. Christ saw the hour of trial that was near, the future course of events as well. Knowing the Father, knowing His disciples, and knowing Satan, Christ prays for them all and us as well. Christ prayed for the ongoing of God's purpose being fulfilled. That is, these chosen disciples being successful in accomplishing God's will in bringing the news, the good news to the world. And therefore, for as many as possible to be saved through that preaching of the gospel. The ongoing of that purpose, the success of the apostles and the salvation of others involved the unity of God's people in Jesus Christ. Take up your Bible and observe with me the following things about the prayer of Christ. In many ways, this is a prayer for unity, a prayer of unity. In fact, I think it is even referred to in that way by some, that it is a prayer of unity. Let's begin by looking, starting at verse 6. "I have manifest your name to the men whom you gave to me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf, but I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours." Christ speaks of his chosen disciples as men called by God. Out of the world. He called them out of the world. And he had given them to Jesus Christ. Christ had declared God's name to them. Look there at verse 6. How did he do that? He did it by doing what's said there in verse 8. "The words which thou gavest me, I have given to them." These disciples had received the message. They believed that message. And the message was that he was sent by God the Father. And they have kept that word. Verses 6 through 8. The result was a glorious unity. Notice also here in verse 6, the unity. "You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Down in verse 9, "I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given to me, for they are yours." And then notice also in verse 10, "And all things that are mine are yours, and yours mine, and I have been glorified in them." It is a glorious unity that they have. They are thine. They are mine. They are yours. All of those things indicating a joint participation in this. Unity in these things. In fact, notice these three statements here in these verses. In verse 6, if you're up to underlining things, underline this phrase, "They have kept thy word." This is the disciples. In verse 8, "The words which thou gavest me, I have given to them." In verse 10, "All things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine." Here is the glorious unity in Christ with God among believers upon the Word of God. It is. Strictly speaking, unity is based on receiving and keeping the revealed Word of God. Without doing so, you cannot be united with God or with Christ. Unity, this unity was going to be tested. Verses 11 through 19 tell us. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Notice here, Christ is praying as one about to leave the world. He is. He knows that's going to take place. He knows what's ahead for him in the very near future. He prayed for those who must remain behind, who must stay here yet in this world amidst all of the trials that are going to be associated with this. Notice there in verse 11, I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And Christ said, He was keeping them in Thy name and given them Thy word, in verses 12 and 14, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, He says. It was only the son of perdition, He says, that was lost. Again, when you underline things, underline these requests of Christ made on behalf of His disciples so that they might succeed in spite of every trial they were going to face in this life after His departure. Well, even before His departure, there with His trial and the things that were associated with His arrest. Look at verse 11. Holy Father, keep them in Thy name, that they may be one even as we are one. In verse 13, that they may have my joy. In verse 15, keep them from the evil one. In verse 17, sanctify them. That idea of sanctify is to set apart, a set apart from the world to God's purposes, for God's use. In fact, that's the very thing that God wanted them to be a part of. These sanctified ones would be kept unto God to be one, to have joy, to overcome the evil that existed. How shall God accomplish such grand purposes? How will that take place? How will He fulfill such noble request and preserve the unity of His people? How shall He answer the prayer of Jesus here in John 17? How shall He set His people apart? Well, look at verse 17. Verse 17 has the answer. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Unity in Jesus Christ is based on His word. There can be no unity without God's word. Look out at the religious world. There is all kinds of confusion. Individuals teaching all kinds of different things. All claiming to serve Jesus Christ. Practicing all kinds of different things, but still claiming to serve Jesus Christ. Claiming to believe in Jesus. In fact, there are individuals who don't even go to church on a regular... In fact, there are individuals who don't even go to church at all who claim to believe in Jesus. How can they all be united in Jesus Christ? They can't be. Can they? Because they practice things that are different. They say things that are different than what the Word says. Unity is based upon God's Word, and there will be no unity unless it is based upon the Word of God. Sanctify them in Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. In fact, I believe that was one of the very first passages I ever learned as a child in my grandmother's Bible class. Rooted in my brain from all of those years of having repeated it over and over again. Set apart because of God's Word. The truth is God's Word, and we need to follow it. That unity was going to soon be created. Look at verses 20 and 21. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. In fact, flip over to Romans 10. In Romans 10, And in verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith is only produced by the word. No wonder unity is controlled by his word. We're to believe, and in fact, in this prayer, Jesus indicates that his disciples believed. Where did that come from? It came from them hearing the word that he brought to them from the Father. We must believe that word, that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. It reminds me of Bob Buchanan. Brother Bob Buchanan was preaching a meeting in Illinois a lot of years ago. I think maybe it might have been even possibly one of the first times I ever got to hear him speak. Man, he's a good speaker. Good Bible student. He was talking about having been in the Philippines and talking with a Muslim. One of the things that gentleman said to him was, how can you all claim to believe in Jesus Christ and you all believe and say and do different things? Why should I believe you? Isn't that exactly what Jesus is saying here in verse 21. So that the world may believe that you sent me. One of the reasons the world doesn't believe is because there's so much religious division existing in what is called Christendom today. And the reason that division exists is because we are not following the word. Oh, I know every one of them would claim we believe the Bible. But let me ask you a question. If we could ask those Jews the day that Jesus is being crucified, that if they believed the Old Testament scriptures, what would every one of them said? They would have affirmed that they believed the scriptures. And Jesus said himself, they are they that testify of me. There's a problem, isn't there? There's a problem. And the problem is, the thing that destroys unity is me putting my think so into it. Every time. That's what happens. And it destroys unity. We need to come back to the Word of God. If we're going to be united as the people of God, if we're going to be strong in carrying the gospel forward, we must come back to His Word. In fact, that same Word which would save and sanctify the apostles was sufficient to save and sanctify all who would believe the apostles' preaching. Christ prayed for those also who will believe in me. How? How would this happen? Underline there. Through their word. What would be the result? That they all may be one. Again. It's a glorious unity in Christ with God among believers upon the word of God. As believers united in Christ upon the basis of His message, they would have a great impact in reaching the lost. And you think about it. Think about it. In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, we are told about 3,000 souls are saved. Just a few chapters over, we've got 5,000. And then we're being told they're not using numbers anymore. It's many, many men and women are being added to the body. On and on throughout the book of Acts, we see those things taking place. Why? Because they were united in Jesus Christ, in God the Father, based upon His Word. Think about Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter. Those who were disputing with him could not answer his arguments, because their arguments really weren't based on the Scriptures. That was their problem, and that's still the problem yet today. The unity that Christ prayed for is strictly based on His Word for us. The same thing is true, the Bible. Talk about authority? Yes. The Bible is what authorizes everything that we are to say, everything that we are to do, every action that I am to commit as a religious individual in serving Jesus Christ. The Bible is the place I must turn. That's the place that every individual must turn in order to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Without going there, we cannot be obedient to Christ. This is consistent with his statements. Look, if you will, with me in chapter 6 of John. In chapter 6 and in verse 56. John 6 and verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. There's that unity that must exist. Look also here in the same chapter down in verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Jesus' words give life. Over in chapter 14 of John, in chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Even drop down to verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Even drop down even to verse 23 as well. And Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Uniting us. That's what Jesus was calling for. That's what Jesus expects. That's what we need to be doing. Can you find any other statements in the book of John that suggest this same thing? I am absolutely positive that you can. It is there. God expects us, demands that we be united on His Word. In fact, there is no other way. Individuals who love God, who love Jesus, who really believe in Him, are going to obey His Word. What kind of life are you living tonight? What kind of person have you been? Jesus Christ provides the remedy for every sin that exists. Every sin that you have ever committed, He provides the remedy. His shed blood. And you can come in contact with that blood tonight by being baptized into Christ this evening. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? That's what the Scriptures teach. The Old Testament and the New Testament teach that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed of God. He is the Messiah that the Jews were looking for, but then rejected. He has now been made the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. You need to build your life upon that stone. You need to be united with Him. Unite yourself with Him in baptism if you need to tonight. If you already have done so, but you're not living the way you should, then you are moving yourself away from Him. You're no longer united to Him. Repent, come back, confess that sin, and make your life right with Him. Again, be united with Him. Whatever you need to do tonight to be right with the Lord, do not delay. You may not have another opportunity. Come as we stand and sing.